let me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table stand. Higher plane than I have found. My breath might be on higher ground. I want to stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
If you've been following along with our study in the book of Ephesians, you know that we've been studying in chapter 4 and verse 30. We've spent a lot of time on this verse because it's very important. Now, the Bible is important, but there comes a time when some things just sort of come out at us, and we spend more time on one section than another. And this happens many times in our lives as we're studying the Word of God. It's as though God brings that to life for us and brings it to us, and we see things that we haven't seen before. And I pray that you're getting blessed not by me, but by the Word of God as we're studying it together. And if at all possible, have your Bible open to Ephesians chapter 4 as we're going through that together. Now, once again, I realize if you're in a car, you can't do that, but you can listen and you can follow along in your mind's eye the Word of God as we study it together. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." I look back in the book of Psalms, and I see something here that caught my eye in Psalm 119. And I read, starting with verse 4, it says, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." And I go into verse 7 of Psalm 119. It says, "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." And verse 8 goes on to say, "I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." Well, God's not going to forsake us utterly because we're saved forever once we've trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But it's possible for us to grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's what we've been looking at. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We need to keep his statutes. We need to go by what he has given us in his word. We need to listen to him. We need to talk with him daily. We need to read the word of God daily and let him speak to us through his word. Talk, listen, and read. That's what we need to do. We need to listen to the word of God as someone is speaking it, and we need to read the word of God as our eyes follow along in his book, the Word of God. So important for us to be in the book. Well, once again, I asked the question the last time, if asked what conduct causes the Holy Spirit to be disappointed in us, what's the answer? Well, open and gross sins could cause that, cause him not to be happy with us, to be grieved. Anger is another, in all its forms, is another way to grieve the Holy Spirit. Ingratitude, not being thankful for what God has done for us, and neglecting to pray, neglecting to be in the Word of God, neglecting to give our bodies to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, to give ourselves for his service, to do what he would want us to do for him, for this lost and dying world. It says in chapter 12, verse 2, of Romans, "Be not conformed to this world." Don't be like the world, but be transformed. That means to change, to be changing by the renewing of your mind. That's through the Word of God and as the Holy Spirit leads. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sometimes we don't know the Word of God, or we don't know the will of God, the perfect will of God, because we haven't been in the Word of God. We need to stay close to the Lord in order to find out what he wants us to do. You see, we're not just to sit around and twiddle our thumbs to save people, but we're to be busy for the Lord. The Bible tells us that we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. That means we are ambassadors. We're representatives of heaven once we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, we need to be busy for Him because we are actually representing Him. Now, if we're not working for Him, if we're not doing anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, people are going to know that. They're going to see that in our lives. And it's possibly the fact is that they will have this idea, well, you're no better than I am. Why should I get saved? Why should I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? I have too much to give up in this world. Because, once again, you evidently haven't given it up. Well, they may see that in our lives if we're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors for the Lord. Can you imagine that? An ambassador for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a great privilege it is today to be serving our God. Well, there's something else, and one other thing that I believe could actually grieve the Holy Spirit, and that's resistance. You see, Christians often resist the Holy Ghost. He would lead them to be dead in the world, in other words, sin. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to realize who we are. Once we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're dead. We are to be dead to sin. We are to give ourselves to the Lord. And please notice this. Ephesians chapter 1, now we've studied this together. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Now, it says predestined. Well, predestined for what? Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We've been sealed by the Spirit. We've been sealed by the Spirit of God at the time of salvation. That seal can never be broken. We can also say that being sealed by the Holy Spirit means that God has placed or pressed His mark upon us. God has pressed the mark of His Spirit upon those who have trusted Jesus as Savior. The mark, or that of being sealed by the Holy Spirit, cannot be changed or taken away. The saved person is assured of heaven. There's no way that a person is going to be stronger than God. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is God, and He's placed that seal upon us, and there's no way that that seal is going to be broken. I believe we've looked at this in the past in our studies. In Romans chapter 8, it asks the question there, who can separate us from the love of Christ? It names everything there in the book of Romans that it says, can anyone or anything separate us from the love of Christ? In other words, can we lose our salvation? And the Bible says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that first loved us. He loved us so much that He left heaven, Jesus did, to give His life for you and I, that we could be saved. So why would He take that back? The person He died for, why would He say, okay, you're lost, you're on your way to hell now, because you've grieved the Holy Spirit. Grieving the Holy Spirit does not mean we've lost our salvation. Why? We are sealed by Him. We are protected. Nothing can break the seal of the Holy Spirit. He's not going to break the seal, and neither can anyone else. I want you to keep this in mind as well, if you would. There will be a person who will place a mark upon all who will take it during the tribulation period. Those of us who have been sealed by the Holy Spirit will have already been raptured, or in other words, caught away. We'll be taken out of here before the tribulation period starts. We're going to be taken out by Jesus Christ before the tribulation begins. Now, the one known as the beast, as we read of in the book of Revelation, he's seen during the tribulation. He's going to cause people to take his mark. And all who do take his mark will seal their doom. It's like a seal. And just as when the Holy Spirit seals the Christian for heaven, the mark of the beast will be a seal that seals those who take it to hell. They are sealed for hell. Notice in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 16, those who take the mark of the beast cannot be saved. Revelation 13, 16 says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor." This is speaking of the beast. "Rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead." Is it going to be a visible mark? I don't know. What's it going to be like? I don't know. I just know what the Bible says. It's going to be a mark. The people will receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Is it going to be visible, invisible? I don't know. And frankly, I don't care, because I won't be here. Now, I care for those people who are going to take it, because their souls will be in hell in the lake of fire one day because they have not trusted Jesus Christ. They took the mark of the beast. Revelation 13, 17 says, "And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." I believe that right now that the beast is trying the water. In other words, he's around trying different things to see how foolish people are today and how easy it will be for people to take the mark. We hear much today about, you do this or you're not going to be able to buy things. You wear this around your face or you're not going to be able to go into a grocery store to buy anything. You wear this or you get this shot or you're not going to be able to work, or you're not going to be able to go anywhere or do anything. We're hearing that today, folks, and that is a prerequisite for people to be ready to take the mark of the beast. They're told they can't do anything, but there will be some people who refuse that mark, and those people will be with God one day. They'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 13, 18 says, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. No matter what we think and hear and believe about this beast, the Bible tells me there that he's only a man, that he is a man that people are following. And we've got to be careful with that, even in the day and time that we live in. We should not put our confidence in man, because man will fail us. The only person that we need to place our confidence in is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to place our confidence in God the Father, our Heavenly Father, who sent His only begotten Son into this world to give His life for us so that we could have everlasting life. We should not place our trust in a preacher. We should not place our trust in a Sunday school teacher. We should not place our trust in a president of the United States. We should not place our trust in any man or woman in this world. We should place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the man of sin, the beast, according to Revelation 13, 18, is only a man. Well, where does he get his power from? He gets his power from Satan himself. The devil, he is a deceiver. The devil is going to give this man power. Now, how is he going to do that? I believe it's through deceivableness. He's going to deceive many people that they will be led astray. People will still be able to get saved, but those who do get saved will give their lives, many of them, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him today as Savior? Get saved now. Don't go through the tribulation period. Don't be suffering for the devil. Get saved today. Know Him as your Lord and Savior, that is, Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.